Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by RunCatalina.com. The Catalina Eco Marathon Half Marathon 10K coming up Saturday, November 18th. By the Tough Man Triathlon Series, that's toughmantri.com. By VeloFix.com, the coolest mobile bike shop around. By ATVSwimSpas.com, the official training vessel for six-time Ironman world champion Dave Scott. By our Challenged Athletes Foundation, that's DonateCAF.com. We just sent out 2,448 grants totaling $3.7 million. Keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out all of our interviews on iTunes or on Babbittville.com. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest representing the Challenge Athletes Foundation and Operation Rebound, Mr. Daniel Casera. Daniel, how you doing?
I am outstanding. How are you?
I am wonderful. Now, Daniel, where'd you grow up?
Chicago.
Oh, so you're a Chicago guy like me. I love that. What part of Chicago?
Well, I grew up in Matteson, Illinois, the south suburb, and then towards the latter part of my life, lived in West Loop.
Oh, cool. Okay. And so what were your sports growing up?
Huge baseball guy. Followed basketball and followed, football and, a little tennis here and there, but was a huge, huge baseball guy. Big Cub fan.
I was going to say, South Side usually would be White Sox, so you're a Cub guy.
I've been a Cub guy for over 30 years, so, I lived and died with those guys, and it was good to still see them, still good to be able to be living to see them pull off, what they did last year.
Yeah, and I bet you were like me while we were watching the last few innings of that game going, I'm reliving my youth all over again. They're blowing.
Absolutely.
I was going out of my mind. Were you the same way, thinking, oh, my God, this is like flashback?
For sure. I was reliving the whole 1984 bit and, living now in San Diego and seeing, Steve Garvey's number and name and face plastered. I just kind of walk by and shake my head. But now, that we're world champs, I can walk into that stadium with my head held high.
You don't have to think about Leon Durham anymore.
That's right.
So when did you decide to go into the military?
1994.
So, 94. And what branch?
Army.
So you went in the Army, and you were deployed in 2005?
2005.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And so it was in that same year, it was September 23rd, 2005, you guys rolled over a tank mine.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. Flipped a tank, killed two and injured four, and you were one of the injured. Take me through the injuries you dealt with.
So as I was sitting on that bench, the bench collapsed underneath my legs and crushed them. But it was my field medic that, and the rest of my team that not only got me to a safe place, but to a place that allowed them to work on my legs, which I suffered bilateral fractures to my right tibia and fibula. Shattered left tibia, both of my heel and ankle bones are shattered, and a dislocated right hip. So I kind of went through the process of trying to get back to a sense of normalcy, and 24 surgeries later, grace of God and a lot of friends and family to help me out, I've been able to get back on my feet and able to enjoy my life.
So was there a point where they were talking amputation, or was it one of those things that they felt that, hey, with bracing, we can get you to a point where you can basically do whatever you want to do?
Yeah, no, well, so initially they wanted to amputate. They felt like that would give me a better quality of life.
Yeah.
And, back in 2005, there were no ideal braces, and there were no Even the amputations were, as they were being done and performed, the prosthetics just weren't at the level as they are right now. So, you know, even guys that I knew and went into that hospital with that had amputations were going through significant changes with stumps and things of that nature, and, you know, found themselves just having issues.
Sure.
And I just did not want to be one of them.
Right.
Not to say that what they went through was wrong, they should have changed, or none of that. I just felt like that wasn't me. And, you know, when that doctor asked me, you know, what I wanted to do, I told him, hey, you know, I came in this world with two legs. I'm going to leave with two. And I pushed forward with that. And even to this day, continue with that same mindset.
Sure. So what were those struggles early on? I mean, did you have to walk with crutches or with a walker, or how did you get around at first?
At first, it was all wheelchair.
Okay.
You know, I went from being bedridden to moving to a wheelchair, and then from that wheelchair, I graduated to a walker, and after falling a few times, I figured, you know, I need to try to have some more stability, and thinking that crutches would allow me to move a little faster, and it did, and allowed me to be able to be in a place to have more mobility than the walker did, and then about a year later, I was able to graduate to a cane because I started getting some of the hardware off and cast and so forth. And after I got to that cane, I was like, you know, I'm not doing this anymore. I could do this without all of it.
Right.
And I threw the cane down and I started, you know, moving a little bit more without any assistance. And then it wasn't until 2013 that I was able to get fitted for the IDEO. And I've been using it ever since, and it has absolutely made a world of difference, and has changed my life completely.
Now, what is that? Is that's a type of bracing?
Yes. So it stands for Intrepid Dynamic Exoskeleton Orthosis, and Intrepid is actually where the device was created at the Center for the Intrepid down in San Antonio, Texas.
Right, Brooke Army.
Right during the same grounds, exactly, Brooke Army Medical Center. And it was created by a gentleman by the name of Ryan Blanc. And he did a lot of prosthetics with arms and hands, and was tinkering, I guess. And the story I remember hearing was tinkering, you know, with the device that would allow guys to limb salvage cases to be able to put these on and get them back into theater and get them without having an amputation, go through the, you know, a few months of getting fitted and up and mobile, but put themselves right into these devices and then boom, get them back going. And as time went on, more guys started falling in line with the device, and I was completely out, so there was no need to get me rushed back into theater. But I still needed a better quality of life,
right.
And the device was available. I took advantage of it, and then I became an advocate for more veterans to be able to get fitted for the device. And now, not because of me, but now the device can be fitted for these guys. Not only in San Diego at Balboa Medical Center, but also at Walter Reed or Bethesda on the East Coast, and of course still down in San Antonio at the Center for the Intrepid. Mm-hmm.
So you were in at Brooke Army for basically October 1, 2005 through January 31st, 2006.
Yes.
And all through that entire process, you're going through multiple surgeries. How tough did it get for you? Just it seemed like it probably at some point felt like there was no end to where this was going.
Yes, sir. I would totally agree with that. You know, I would see guys, you know, coming in and out of the hospital.
Right.
You know, whether I was, you know, in the hospital bed and then there was another bed, you know, in there, and the next thing I know, that guy comes in, you know, there's his family, and then he's walking out or being rolled out with his family. I'm like, why am I still here? And,
right.
You know, they want to be, and they continue, the doctors and the therapists and so forth continue to press to get me, you know, back to some place of normalcy as quickly as they could. And it was just then about me pressing forward to try and get better as best as I could.
So when it came to sport, what was the first sport you gravitated to after all this?
I still wanted to get back on that baseball field,
yeah.
Back on that diamond. But realistically, I knew that wasn't realistic.
Uh-huh.
So I started with hand cycling. I did a little bit of a seated volleyball.
Yeah, yep.
But with that hand cycling, that really took me to a different place because I was now able to go and be a part of events that I never would have been able to be a part of without the hand cycle because I wasn't a big runner. So events like marathons and so forth, I just would
yeah.
not have been able
no.
to participate in. But the hand cycle definitely helped me out. And because of that, I was able to compete or participate in 8 different marathons.
Wow.
You know, across the country and a few other events that allowed me, again, just to stay active and to hopefully, you know, be an inspiration to people once they heard my story. For them to just say, hey, you know, if this guy can be in this position after all that he's gone through, maybe I can get out of whatever funk I'm in and get into a better place and do things as well. So that was my hope as I went through these events and these races.
Yeah.
Just to get people to hopefully motivate them. As well as, you know, staying active.
What I love is the fact that you became... Now, were you a golfer before you...
No.
So you got in, you picked up golf after mm-hmm. the accident.
Yes. So it wasn't So I got married in 2009, and my wife was into golf, and I will tell you, I was so oblivious to the game. I didn't even know my high school had a golf team until 10 years later after I graduated from high school. That's when I found out we
funny.
Had a golf team. So I was just so oblivious to the game and ended up gravitating to the game rather quickly and to where now, you know, it's a part of my life and it's allowed me to stay mobile and to you know, work on parts of my body that just did not get the action, if you will, that it did prior to. I
right.
was able to even get back on the diamond, play a little 12-inch softball, and then move to San Diego and started playing baseball again on a 25 and older league. And
wow, what position?
Second base.
Way to go! That's
mm-hmm.
cool.
Mm-hmm. And then again back to the golf and now. Even because there's so many other things going on in my life that I just don't have the time to put into being in the league. My wife and I have taken up tennis, so now we're hitting the ball around and just staying active that way as well.
I love that. Now, when you're playing tennis, you're not doing wheelchair tennis; you're doing regular tennis.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm telling you, these ideals
wow.
have given me just a new lease on life and has allowed me to do some great things and to just stay active and, you know, even cycling, you know, getting in,
yes.
into upright cycling, which has allowed me to do mountain biking, which then gave me the opportunity to be a part of the W100.
I was going to say, 2015, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's been quite the journey since getting injured. And, you know, a lot of people will, you know, ask me what happened, especially if I have shorts on and
yes.
or if I'm limping when I walk and they're like, oh, you know, did you hurt your ankle? I'm like, no, I got blown up in Iraq and it shocks people.
Sure.
And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, no, please don't be, because my life is better because it didn't end when I got injured. It actually truly started. So I am very grateful for the people that have been in my life, especially since 2005, since getting injured, that have pushed me along and gotten me from the healthcare, even to the VA system, to folks like Nico Marcolongo and CAS.
Operation Rebound,
absolutely, being a huge not advocate, but an advocate, but as well as a conduit, to my growth, both as an athlete and just as a person, and have been given the opportunity to meet some great people, some great kids, you know, that are fighting adversity at such a young age, and here these kids are, you know, pushing through and swimming and doing triathlons, and it's just such an amazing organization, and I love doing things, you know, for them and being a part of an organization that is, where it's not about self, it's about people, and they're always trying to do something for others.
Well, and you're going to be joining us at our first Bernie Lerner golf tournament on Wednesday, August 2nd in Chicago. That'll be a fundraiser for Operation Rebound, and you'll be playing golf there, right?
That's right. My wife and I both will be out there. Hopefully we can scorch the course a little bit.
So what's your best round at this point?
Oh, I'm right there tapping that 70, that high 70.
So, wow.
Yeah, I'm still working. So game in progress. You know,
I top a 70. So you know what you would enjoy, because you've spent some time at Morgan Run, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So we used to put on, in the 90s, I used to put on speed golf tournaments where people would run and play golf. And we had a tournament out there, and the guy shot 38. I'm sorry, in 38 minutes, he shot par.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. These guys play.
It's a flat course.
It is. That's a wide open course. That's a perfect course for speed golf. You're not losing many balls there. But it's funny when you play that way, when guys do, you know, run, you take your mind out of it, and you actually hit the ball pretty pure. It's pretty fun to watch. We play over at Loma Santa Fe Executive Course early. You have to be early. You have to tee off at, like, 5 in the morning and wear headlamps, and it's really fun. It's a great way to play the game. So golf is the main sport right now, and you went to you graduated from the Golf Academy of America. Now, was that to be an instructor or to become a better golfer?
No, just to learn more about the game, the ins and outs of the game.
When you look back at all of this, you know, you've been to the Warrior 100, you've been to the Warrior Open in 2014. When you look back at it, you know, what's happened because of this explosion in 2005, when you look at your decision to go in the military, how do you look at that now?
Best decision I've ever made.
Really? Even after all this has happened?
Absolutely. I wouldn't change a thing. There's a few points or a few times in my life that I felt like, you know, I wish I could have gone through things differently and could have had a different experience when I was in the hospital room or a couple of the times when I was going through therapy. Yeah, I wish things were definitely different. But other than that, I appreciate all that this injury has done for me in terms of better character and just strengthened me mentally as well as spiritually, which has absolutely done wonders for me physically.
I love that. And weren't you one of the athletes who was painted by President Bush?
Yes. So there were over 90, just shy of 100 portraits with the mural, big mural included, that President Bush painted us. And it's not like we sat there. He took photos that were given to him, and he took those photos and turned them into paintings. And then with them also came our stories, which was amazing, because for a lot of people that don't know, President Bush actually knows each of us. And,
right.
And if we were to see him, you know, out and about somewhere, he would be able to tell that person or tell anyone about that individual. And that's the one thing I truly respect about that, and amongst many other things. But that's one major piece that I respect about President Bush, is how he has taken the time to learn more about us and about our families. And
right.
It's amazing. So yes, I was one of the warriors painted by him, and it's been such an absolute, not only an honor, but just it's a great feeling to know that 43rd President, United States of America, took the time to paint little old me. And every time I look at the painting, we all got copies of it.
Sure.
And every time I look at it, I just am amazed by what the president did, and even the stories that are in the book. Get a chance to read those stories, and all the men and women that the reasons they put the uniform on, or the reasons they were injured, and how they have overcome their injuries, you know, to date, is it's pretty remarkable.
I love it. Daniel, first of all, thanks so much for being an amazing representative of Operation Rebound and Challenged Athletes Foundation. I love what you bring to the organization, and it's going to be great to have you with us in Chicago for the Bernie Lerner Golf Tournament coming up on Wednesday, August 2nd. And thanks for your time today.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, and I look forward to the tournament. Super excited about getting back to the hometown and getting, you know, hit the links with these folks. It's going to be an absolutely beautiful day there in Chi-Town.
I love it. Again, Daniel Cacera has been our guest. We are brought to you by RunCatalina.com, Catalina Eco Marathon, Half Marathon 10K, coming up Saturday, November 18th, Tough Man Triathlon Series, VeloFix.com, the coolest mobile bike shop around, ATVSwimSpas.com, the official training vessel for six-time Ironman World Champion Dave Scott. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, Operation Rebound, is part of our Challenged Athletes Foundation. You can donate to Challenge Athletes Foundation at donatecaf.com. We just sent out 2,448 grants totaling $3.7 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here.